It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with France. So we're continuing with France. Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
HaberHill.com.
The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com in Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery, New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93 is the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery, we are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushoot Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Wow. That's amazing. They are enjoying the weather. It's nice and warm out there. The rain has gone elsewhere.
Passed by southern Florida. Good. Moderate rain in southern Florida. Yeah.
Well, we're doing good here. It's sunny and we're ready to go. Anyway.
Welcome to All About Wine again.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Thursday. Somewhere in May 31st. There we go.
May 31st, last day of May.
Yeah.
If you have any bills due on the 1st, get them written.
Hurricane season starts tomorrow, so.
Oh, it does. That's right. Officially.
Put all your valuables in protection someplace, or send them to us. We'll hang on to them gladly for you.
Yeah.
But only the valuable stuff. So let me check something real quick to make sure this is going to play. And.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. Very good.
There you go. Right. Okay. I don't know if you see that down at the bottom, but it should be on the board now. So.
No, it's not.
Okay. Well, I had to refresh. I don't know.
I might have to refresh too.
Let me put that. I'm putting it up at the top. Okay. Yeah. Try and refresh. Just a.
Okay.
Refresh.
I'm gonna hit refresh here.
Okay. We just gained 700 listeners. Do you see that at the very top?
Says background. Yes, I do. I see it.
Okay, cool. There you go.
Oh, it's a long one. We can take a lot of breaks.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's no pause. So each time you start it up, you're going to hear that same thing again. So there you go. There's the background for the second guest. But anyway, speaking of guests, I can go ahead and get our first guest.
Yes.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Larry is our first guest. Welcome back to All About Wine Tonight. Mike's going to leave us after he gets the guest tonight. He's he's got something else to take care of this evening, and so he's going to be leaving us. I'll be handling the program by myself with the guest, so we'll be taking care of that. And the second guest tonight is going to go back to Jason, our attorney, and he's going to come back and talk to us a little bit more. And we'll see if we can't make arrangements with Jason tonight, too, to come on like every 3 months and tell us what's going on. He seems to be quite knowledgeable about the legal end of the wine and shipping and all that good stuff. So maybe we can have him on like every 3 months as a guest and have him fill us in, or every couple months, have him fill us in on what's happening out there in the world of wine. So that should be interesting. Should be fun. Larry is going to be our first guest. Larry is a musician and plays wineries. We're going to talk with him and get some get a different perspective. We're still going to talk about wines, but it's going to be a different perspective from someone who's going to be in out there and playing music for everyone and all. And we'll see what he has to say. And he's being hooked up right now, so we should have him on any second here. I guess he's hooked up as long as Mike doesn't have a problem with it. And we'll be spending probably a couple more weeks in Pennsylvania. I think our guest next week is, we're still going to be in Pennsylvania, but the guy that we're looking at getting on next week is going to be, Larry's not a musician. I'm seeing a note here. Larry's a promoter for shows and stuff. He's not a musician. So he's a program director and stuff like that. So he books stuff and takes care of stuff and all that. Oh, my mistake. I understood he was a musician. So he's going to get on with us, and he's going to talk to us about promoting shows for wineries and as a program director and all that stuff. But it could be fun. We got a guest next week. I think the guest next week has a small winery. But what's going to be interesting about him is he has been inventing and making a lot of the equipment he needs and a lot of the different things he needs instead of going out and buying it, which it can get really quite expensive on some of the stuff that's available out there. He makes a lot of it himself. So it should be should be a fun show next week. Larry is a program director. He promotes wineries, promotes for wineries. He does that. That's what he does. He's let's get him on. Let him tell us about what's going on here. I'll see what he's doing here. Hello, Larry. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, welcome to the program. I've been talking to you, talking and telling everybody you're a musician. I'm wrong on that. I don't know where I got that. I think I know where I got it, and I can probably dig back into my old emails. I think Mike might have, not my Mike, your Mike, might have sent me something about it, and I just, went with that.
I'm the program director for Dauphin County, and I organize two of the four signature events that the wine country participates in.
Oh, fantastic. All right. How long have you been doing that?
We're on our sixth year. Fifth year for the music and wine and sixth year for the jazz festival. Hello?
No, we're still on here. Hold on a second. That's weird. I just heard like a scratching noise.
Yeah, I thought we lost you.
Yeah. Ron, are you there?
Yeah. I don't know if Ron's on there. Yeah.
That's strange all of a sudden. Sound like it unplugged or something. Yeah, there you go. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear everybody. Yeah. I couldn't, but it's I like guess everybody can hear me.
It's like something disconnected somewhere. So, yeah, you're back.
All right. Well, maybe because I adjusted my head here. I might have a short in my mic here.
There's 700 new listeners just came on.
Just came on because we had a glitch.
It seems to be the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Larry, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Yeah, we were laughing because back on the archives, you look at any of our programs that we've had problems or anything, we always get a spike of listeners on the archives or on live or all that. We get a spike. So
I can understand.
It just seems like every time it happens, it just everybody goes, "Oh, we need to tune in now." Oh well, Mike is going to be leaving us tonight. So Mike, TTFN, go take care of business, and we will talk to you later. And
okay.
Thanks for hooking us up tonight on this, and we'll be in touch later then.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Take it easy.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, Mike's got some business to take care of, and so he's going to be cutting out early tonight. So I'm sorry. For some reason, I was disconnected there. I don't know if it's my microphone or what's going on here, but we're back with you, and we'll go back to my original question. If tell us, or my original statement, tell us about what involves in organizing, booking, and all this for the wineries.
Well, Moran, we start about a year out.
Wow.
It's just two of us that really do the planning and marketing. We start looking. We have a lot of people looking for us, but I'm the program director for Dauphin County Parks and Recreation Department, located in central Pennsylvania. And what we do several things throughout the county, but one of them is performing arts, and we run several festivals throughout the year. And two out of the four of our performing arts festivals that are big festivals are our Music and Wine Festival that we'll have June 9th and 10th. And then also the other big festival that we'll have is the Jazz and Wine Festival September 8th and 9th. And we're heavily involved with the newly Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country that everyone's really excited about, and we're excited about having them all pulled together and having them under one roof or really outside in our beautiful park next weekend.
That's right. It's coming up. You just, so the next one's, so it should be quite an event then. What do you do to promote this thing? What do you say you start a year out? What is the
well,
first
one
thing
day,
that happened?
The first Saturday is blues. The next day, Sunday, is funk. We try to get some of the. We have like five national acts coming in. We have 12 bands total, two stages. We'll have 16 wineries for the weekend. And what we're so happy about is the, of course, what I'm talking about is the Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country. And we say taste it because there'll be 12 of the award-winning wineries there. There'll be over 250 handcraft white, red, and blush wines to suit all of our palates. And then when you actually go to the wineries that are located in central Pennsylvania, there's like breathtaking views. They're family-oriented, operated vineyards amidst the rolling hills of Pennsylvania, and they're just beautiful, beautiful to travel to. And the wineries are open year-round, and also world-renowned attractions and restaurants that are here in Dauphin County. I'm sure everybody's heard of Hershey Park Amusement Park, so it's right here in the dead of central Pennsylvania. So you can come visit us at Dauphin County, visit the Hershey Park, our restaurants, and then, go on our wine country tour and visit our wineries that we have. And we have 12, like I said, award-winning wineries that are just fantastic.
Wow. I had two or three questions while you were talking there, and every time
I'm sorry, Ron.
That's okay. The bands that you get in, they're all from Pennsylvania, or you see you got some big name bands?
No, we do national acts. We do national acts that we have coming in for the Music and Wine Fest. We have Jimmy Thackery and the driver and the drivers featuring J.P. Source. He's an icon in the blues world, and Wanda Johnson and the Shrimp City Slim coming out of South Carolina, and Andy Paxson, and we have the Fatback Band, a local band. And what we do, we work with local arts facilities, agencies. This one that we're working with now is called the Blues Society of Central Pennsylvania. It's title sponsored by M&T Bank. And we're working hand-in-hand with the Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country. So all of those components work out to be two great days. We're in a historic park along the Susquehanna River. And we go from like 4:30 in the evening, late afternoon, to about 10 o'clock at night, and we light all the trees up in the park. And it's $20 the weekend, Ron. $20 for the weekend.
Wow.
It's exceptional. And we let people bring a cooler in or a basket if the people need to eat. We only have one food vendor, and so we let people bring food in. And what's special this year that we'll have the wine education classes too, wine 101, to really for people to understand how their palate is. You can actually purchase a glass of wine, a bottle of wine, or even a case of wine right on the property. So it's going to be a great day for Dauphin County and, of course, the wine country.
Well, next question arises. You are in Pennsylvania. How are you getting by with selling glasses and bottles and cases of wine without the state store being involved in this?
Well, the state is involved. We go through it's called the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. So the state receives it's $30 a day for a permit, and the PLCB oversees everything that we do. We're not really, when I say the county, we're not associated with the wineries. They're vendors in our eyesight, and they work hand-in-hand with the state officials. And it wouldn't be to my surprise that several marshals or a marshal will be at our facility or our property just to see how things. I mean, we're in the capital. I mean, we're located in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and that's the capital. Uh-huh. And we hand walk our permits through. We're so close.
Well, that
so,
worked out well.
It works out well, and we have a good, very, very good relationship with the PLCB, and they're happy for us as well. And of course, for the new wineries that have been created over the past year.
Do you get in the same wineries year after year? Do you have a waiting list, or how does the wineries work getting in?
They fill out an application. We have 12 wineries, but four of them are grandfathered in. We have a couple other wineries in the Lehigh Valley and the Philadelphia area that come in, and as well as the State College area. So we do have some other wineries that come in. We'll have a total of 16 wineries. And then we'll also have craft vendors that will be there too, with jewelry or some different type of product as far as wood products or some carvings or things like that, or something that would be associated with wine, the wine holders and things like that. So we're very excited to have it. We expect 4,000 to 5,000 people to attend over the weekend for the 2-day period. So we're just growing. We're in our fifth year for our music and wine festival, and then our jazz festival, music and our wine and jazz festival is in September, and we have some of the biggest smooth jazz artists coming in from across the nation as well.
Wow. So you spend all year scheduling these two events and getting everything booked and all that, so it runs smoothly on the weekends.
Well, we do 20 festivals, Ron. We do 20 festivals. We have a nature center. I mean, we're a full-fledged recreation, Parks and Recreation Department, run by three commissioners in Pennsylvania. The festival, the things that we do with the wine country are just a small segment about what we do for the year. But we are involved in two of their four signature events, and then there's one other signature event that they do have. They call that a fall festival, and that is September, that's Saturday, Sunday, October 27th and 28th, and that's from 11 to 5 p.m. For those 2 days, too. So we're just part of two of their events, signature events that the wine country has.
And then you take it, excuse me, you excuse me again, please. Then you take care of all those others throughout the year then. So you're quite busy with scheduling events and taking care of everything, getting it all put together and all that.
As the kids say, Ron, that's what we do. You know, we do events. It's when weather cooperates with us, it's fun to work all the events. Our job is to increase the quality of life in central Pennsylvania throughout Dauphin County. The county is just like any other county with the judicial system, children and youth, the county prison. So some of those jobs are nasty that the officials have to do. But we have the nice job to add to the quality of life through our local government. County government, so it kind of balances out, and the commissioners are pleased of what we do. And part of our role is to bring people to stay, we say heads in beds. Part of our role is to bring people in Dauphin County to do several things, to go through the Hershey-Harrisburg wine country, to go to Hershey Park Amusement Park, to go to the Hollywood Casino in our county, and also visit our restaurants and, of course, stay overnight. And we call that heads in beds.
Yeah. How far away do people come for these events, for the wine events?
They'll be coming for at least 2-3 hours. We're advertising the Baltimore, D.C. area. We're advertising the Lehigh Valley area. That means that's the Allentown area and also the Philadelphia area, too, along with central Pennsylvania.
Wow. So it's you pulling from quite a few places on that. That's cool.
Yes, we do.
Do the wineries, I want to ask this because I'm a winery and I'm curious, do the wineries have an admission fee or a fee to attend?
Yes, there's so much for each vendor to attend. We charge $150 per vendor.
Which is really reasonable considering they can sell as much as they want at the thing, too.
Yes. It's $150 per vendor, and then also it's a $60, a $30 a day permit with the PLCB, with the state. So that's another $60 on top of that.
But one case of wine, you've made it up.
You're right. Your math is very good, Ron. So it's we're not in the business. I mean, we charge $20 for the weekend. It's not our jobs to be in the business or compete with the nonprofits. As I said earlier, our role is to bring people in town. We use some of the tax, hotel tax dollar, which we call the tourism dollars, yeah. And that money is rolled right back around. So if people come in to stay overnight, that money is rolled right back around into projects, shows what we're doing here, and when it rolls back in, that's when people stay overnight again. So it's a vicious circle. It's a good formula that the commissioners have, along with several other commissioners throughout the country. We're displeased that things are going well for us at this point.
You're talking about tax, tourism tax. We're in Florida. We're well aware of tourism tax.
Yes, yes.
We know how that works quite well. What about rain dates or rain?
Ron, you don't want to talk about rain. The reason why I'm saying that last year in October, September, we got flooded.
Oh, really?
So we had a major flood here in central Pennsylvania last year. And forgive me if I don't know the hurricane that came through. I can't remember the hurricane. There was a lot of them last year.
Yes, there were.
And they're firing up now as we speak. But and then we moved the date to October, and it was October 1st and 2nd, and that was a nightmare because it was one of the coldest days of the year. I can remember walking around the house New Year's Day thinking it was warmer then than it was October 1st and 2nd. Rain is tough on us because, I mean, people like to be outside. It's nice to go to the theater, but it's theater seating, and people like to roam around. There's a lot of networking that's done there, a lot of fellowship, a lot of first time seeing someone, relationships and old ones that people haven't seen each other for months.
Yeah,
so it worked out. Yes,
it sounds like a great event. I wish there was some way I can get free to go up there this next weekend, but sad to say, I've got things to do here, so that's not going to be possible. Well, I'll tell you what. Before you leave me, give me. For the listeners, it's give them contact numbers or anything that you might want to
give
them.
I'm going to give you two websites. When you get a chance, I want you to go to the Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country, and that is www.hersheyharrisburgwinecountry.com. www.hersheyharrisburgwinecountry.com. And then if you want to check us out, our department, what we do as far as our music festivals, New York's 2.5 hours away from Harrisburg. And Harrisburg's like really centrally located. 2.5 hours from New York, 2 hours from Philadelphia, 2 hours from D.C., an hour from Reading, Pennsylvania. Baltimore, we go to Baltimore to get a crab cake for lunch. That's like 45 minutes away.
Wow!
So it's very we're very very centrally located. Our website for the shows is www.dauphin, that's D-A-U-P-H-I-N, county.org/parks-recreation. www.dauphincounty.org/parks-recreation.
Fantastic.
And there you go.
Well, thank you very much for being on the program with us. It was interesting. I didn't, and again, I apologize for misquoting what you do. No, it's not that being a musician isn't an important job, but yours seems so much more involved. So, thanks for being on the program. I hope people will come out to the event, and I hope that you have great weather. So,
thank you so much, Ron.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Yep. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Larry. Interesting. If anyone's out there, you don't have to, if you listen to this on archives after this weekend, you don't have to worry about not making it to the show, or next weekend, you don't have to worry about not making it to the show. There's always the following weekends, and there's always other events and everything up there. So check it out and see what's coming up and all that. It should be a great time and all sorts of wine available up there around that area. So if you don't make it to the events, you can still go up there and visit winery. We have back with us this week, he was on last week, is Jason, our Jason Raymer, I believe I pronounced that right. He's an attorney who specializes in wine laws and stuff. He's back with us. He's on hold. I'm going to bring him on the air now. Welcome back, Jason.
Thanks, Ron. It's Jason Raymer, and you know, I actually tried to call in a few minutes early to say hi to my good friend Larry.
I would have brought you on.
It's okay. I was enjoying listening to the conversation. Larry, you know, we are really fortunate in Central Pennsylvania to have Larry Moore, and you know, with him he has Michelle Hornberger, who is his assistant. He was talking about it's a two-man show over there putting these events on, but the work that Larry and Michelle do for the citizens of Dauphin County is nothing short of extraordinary. I'm a taxpayer, a resident of Dauphin County, and you know, as I like to take my wife up to Fort Hunter. We have picnics there all the time. You know, Larry and his team just do a first rate job, and we're fortunate to have them. I am thrilled as a beyond the lawyer, as you know from our conversation last week, I also am the owner of the vineyard at Hershey. I'm thrilled to be participating in the event next week, where we're going to actually we're bringing a slushy machine. So beyond selling wine by the bottle and by the glass, we'll also be having some wine slushies for the crowd. It should be a great time. And you know, you brought up weather. While Larry doesn't want to talk about weather, you know, last weekend it was 95 degrees and humid here.
Wow.
My grandparents, I mentioned to you last week, my grandparents live in Sebring. My wife, to surprise me for my birthday, flew them up for a surprise party last Saturday night.
Ah.
And my grandfather said he wanted to go back to Florida. It was cooler in Florida than it was in Central PA last weekend. So, you know, it's one of those things that let's hope the weather is going to be beautiful. If it was this weekend, we're going to have 72, no humidity and sun this weekend. So this would have been a perfect weekend for it. But we'll see how it goes. I know the people on my team are really excited about listening to some of those artists. If your guests, you know, within 3 hours of Central PA, go to Dauphin County's website, or you can also go to the Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country's website. Check out, and which links out to Dauphin County's. Check out the artists and pull them up on YouTube. We are going to be so fortunate in this region next week to have these artists performing on the two stages. The wine education series, I worked with Larry and his assistant Michelle today on. We finalized that. We're going to be having wine tasting 101. We're going to be teaching about wine cocktails and a wine and chocolate pairing class. So yeah, Larry and Michelle are doing a heck of a job for next weekend, and I'm excited to be part of it. I'm excited to hear the acts, and I'm excited obviously to make some money too. But you know, we're that's what we're here for. We're here to make money. But you know, you and I are here to talk about some legal issues involving the wine industry. So. I'm excited to have a little more time with you.
That's, you know, that's a great event. I mean, that's just something fantastic up there. Thing is, with Florida down here, our wineries are so spread out that to do something like that would be pretty near impossible, I'm afraid to say.
That's my grandparents were looking for a good winery to visit down in their area, and they had to drive up to near Orlando. And
The Lake Ridge Winery is located up there, yeah.
They went to Lake Ridge, and they went to another winery that the name is escaping me.
Keel and Curly, probably.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. I need to get them. I actually need to get them over.
I'm not too far from them. Instead of going straight up the center, they can cut over and from Keel and Curly, just take I-4 to I-75 and come on up. And they can. We're about a little less than an hour away from Keel and Curly. So.
Well, I might connect my grandparents then with you, and I hope you give them a nice little tour. But
tell them when let me know who they are when they come in. I'd love to have them stop by the winery.
I will relay that. But talk about some legal issues with wineries. There was an interesting one that came up with between you and Larry, and that was you were talking about marshals that are going to probably be patrolling the grounds. And while I'm sure you have some questions to explore, I think you discovered last week when topics come up, it generally piques my interest. I want to talk about it. It's interesting, and this is, I think, in most states. In Pennsylvania, it's not actually marshals. You could tell Larry he's a park guy and not a lawyer. It's technically actually the state police. In Pennsylvania, and it's the same way in about half of the 50 states, it's state police that enforce liquor laws.
Highway Patrol?
In Pennsylvania, in what?
Highway Patrol?
Florida and California, you guys have the Highway Patrol. Pennsylvania and a number of other states, New Jersey, for example, they actually have a state police force that beyond responsibilities for the highway or for the highways, they're also responsible. They also service small rural communities. They also are involved in servicing game. They're in charge of gaming regulation, like in New Jersey. If you go into some of the famous casinos in Atlantic City, you're going to find the enforcement, the gaming control board, if you will, the enforcement mechanism, are state police officers.
Mm.
Pennsylvania, beyond rural communities, beyond highways, the state police also are in charge of enforcing liquor laws. If you're in, say, the city of Philadelphia and you're an underage drinker, you're going to deal with Philadelphia police. But the tavern or the winery or the brewery that serves an underage person, you're actually going to deal with the state police. The state police will investigate and then fine you. That's all under the jurisdiction of the state police. Pennsylvania actually has the largest domestic police force in the country, in the Pennsylvania State Police. But half the states, you're going to see the state police force responsible for liquor enforcement. So next weekend at the Music and Wine Festival, it is very likely you're going to see state police walking the crowd, looking for who's drinking alcohol. If they don't look 30 or older, they'll be ID'd. You're also going to find that, and this is true. This is a national issue. If you are at a wine, if you're owning a winery and you're not IDing someone, and they look 30 or under 30, and you're not IDing, you'll be fined if you're caught. In Pennsylvania, next week, the downside of having 16 wineries in one location at Fort Hunter is it's kind of like shooting ducks in a barrel. You're going to have the state police just watching what's going on in the winery. They're going to watch the wineries. And if you look like you're under 30 and you're not ID'd, that state police officer is going to walk up and have a conversation with that winery. And that's an issue that wineries across the country need to focus on, especially when they go to festivals. And we are entering summer, and as you know, for especially the northern part of the country, Washington, Oregon, New York, Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Ohio, where where you're going into the warmer time of the year, you're going to have more festivals where you're going to have large contingencies of wine. Liquor control officers are going to gather at those events because it's far more important to ensure that you're not serving people who are intoxicated, you're not serving people underage. In a controlled setting, such as when they walk into your winery, they walk into my winery, the odds are if the winery is not that busy, you're not serving someone underage. When you're talking about, you know, Larry's talking 4,000 to 5,000 people next weekend, mistakes happen. And, while you and I as owners certainly hope that that's not happening, we know that mistakes happen from our staff, and those are costly mistakes. In Pennsylvania,
what's the fine? The repercussions if someone does? You say a mistake, but yeah, you know, they do happen. What is the repercussions?
In Pennsylvania, it's a first time offense is $1,000 to the winery and $1,000 to the staff person. Second offense, $5,000 each. Third offense, a suspension of the license. And New Jersey, the fines are I think 5 and 10. New York are similar to Pennsylvania, 1 and 5, and I think Ohio is similar to Pennsylvania as well. And those are the ones I'm most familiar with. That's where I'm practicing law.
Right.
But you want to, well, $1,000 to a winery, you know, it's a big deal.
It's a lot of money.
But it's probably not the end of the world. You know, I have some staff members who are 23, 24, 25-year-old kids who are great people, great staff people. $1,000 will kill them. I think back when you and I both got out of school. $1,000. I didn't have $1,000 in my checking account to pay a fine. And so that's certainly the wine owners who are listening. As we're going into festival season, you can't emphasize to your staff enough. Be overly cautious. If there's an issue, grab the manager on site. I'm hoping we're all sending. Next weekend I have three festivals going on. I'm going to be at the Dauphin County one because I'm involved with Larry and Michelle and the organization of the Wine Country. But I'm sending a manager to the other two festivals. Who, if there's an issue, my staff knows. Any doubt whatsoever, you talk to the manager. You ask them. You don't mess around. If someone looks intoxicated at festivals, you don't serve. And you're going to have the irate customer who's going to say, I paid X dollars to come to this wine festival. I'm supposed to be able to drink all I want. Well, no, that's not true. You're supposed to drink responsibly. And it's, if another winery wants to risk, their license and them being fined, I'm fine with another winery doing it. It better not be my staff making that gamble. It's because it's an expense. While it's a very expensive gamble for them, it's our reputation. And the bigger thing isn't the $1,000. It's the first strike,
right? And that doesn't go away,
right? And that's the thing that we have to be concerned about as owners of winery. We can't risk it. It is absolutely not worth it.
Well, you mentioned something there too to the wineries and to the owners and to the people working the wineries. Those of you out there listening who go to these things, keep that in mind too. I mean, don't drink too much. You're like Jason just said, drink responsibly. If you find that you are having too much, sit down. I mean, get yourself some food or something, or be sure you have a designated driver with you. I mean, there's all sorts of ways you can be responsible out there and not put the wineries in a position where they might be in trouble.
Right, and that's critical. The other thing is, If you're a person who enjoys wine and you enjoy these music festivals and such, Larry talked about he only has one food vendor next weekend, which I'm glad to hear because I'm going to now make sure I bring cheese and crackers to sell. But you have to eat. You have to stay hydrated, especially on hot days. The saying that you need to have a bottle of water after every glass of wine, especially on a hot day, you got to do it. Don't put the winery at risk. Don't put yourself at risk. But the other thing is, and the question when we have irate customers, because my staff has a hard line about festivals and being intoxicated, you're not getting served. And when I'm dealing, when I talk to those customers, my question is, if you are so drunk at this point that you can't have a real conversation, how can you make a decision on what wine to buy? We're not a bar. You're not coming to a tavern. You're coming to a festival to taste wines to determine what you want to buy or to, get a bottle or get a glass to sit out and enjoy. How are you doing that if you're so drunk? If you're that drunk, if you're that intoxicated, you have no taste buds at that point.
That's right. Yeah, just alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And at that point, if you're a winery, you're not going to make money on that person anyway. So beyond the risk, and this might be something that the owners have to get to and the managers have to get through the staff, beyond the risks of fines and frankly, I find just telling my staff about the personal fines that they will pay. I'm not covering their personal fines. But then as a practical matter, you got to remind them that you're there to sell wine. And if someone's intoxicated, they're not buying wine.
No, they won't.
Why are we wasting more precious tasting dollars in tasting pours for someone who's not going to buy? That's something else that I think resonates with my staff. We have a very family oriented approach at the Vineyard at Hershey, so I think that certainly resonates. But as we go into festival season, these are definitely some considerations if you are not only a wine owner, wine staff, we're also a guest. If you're under 30, you better be ID'd. If you're a guest and you're under 30 or you look young, have your ID out and go up to the winery with your ID. Make it easier on the wineries.
Yeah, it's always a good rule.
Yep, and drink responsibly. You follow those rules, and we're going to have a great summer across the country. With last year's, especially in the Northeast, we had unseasonably warm weather most of the year. We had a lot of rain, but we had unseasonably warm weather most of last season. So this year's vintages, especially the Northeast Chardonnays this year, I actually think we're having a very special Chardonnay vintage this year from what we're all drinking from last harvest. It's a great time to be a wine lover, and we just got to be responsible with it.
I have a question. Actually, I don't have a question. Someone sent me an email. I was listening to the program last week when you were on, and you said something, and they wrote me a quick email and said that you mentioned that whenever there's wine submitted to the state, they taste it and they see if it is eligible to go into the state stores, see if it lives up to their standards or whatever. The question was, who is these people that do this? Who is the people that taste it? Are they wine people or are they just somebody?
Oh, great question. In Pennsylvania, it's actually interesting. There's a committee and they are employees of the Liquor Control Board that meets once a week. They have a wine tasting room. I believe it's a 9-person committee, but I could be off on the numbers by a few, that come together in this kitchen, and they taste wines, they read reviews, and they make the decision on what should be stocked and what shouldn't be. It actually was a source of controversy. About a month ago, one of the leading think tanks in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth Foundation, wrote an entire report trashing the concept of here you have these state-paid employees who are spending 4 hours a week just drinking wine on the job.
Good point.
Now, theoretically, they're spinning, or that's what they're saying they're doing, so they're not getting intoxicated on the job. But I would gladly. My day job's. I'm an attorney for Post and Shell, a great law firm in Pennsylvania. But I'm pretty sure I could corral several attorneys who would love to spend 4 hours a week of billable time just tasting wine. So
I can imagine.
but that's how it works. There's a committee of state employees that work for the Liquor Control Board that meet on a weekly basis and make decisions on whether something should be carried or should not be carried.
So their qualifications basically are the fact that they work for the state.
They work for the Liquor Control Board, yes.
Yeah, so that's they really have no backgrounds in wines or anything else.
I think most of them are They're on the buying groups, and if you're in the buying teams, you're certainly going to have knowledge of wines. And there's the way the Liquor Control Board does acquisitions of new products and retention of products. They do have buyers, just like Walmart, Target. They have buyers. Liquor Control Board is the largest purchaser of alcohol in the world. They have buyers. And the buyers make up the committee. You laugh, but it's sadly true that the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board is the largest purchaser of alcohol in the world.
That's just amazing.
It's Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for you. but there are some qualifications of these employees.
Okay, good.
In that they've been around wine for a good amount of time, and I can tell you, walking through the LCB. I think some of their goals are to have representative wines by price points. There are wines that I would never purchase. That are $3.99 a bottle, and there's some great $3.99 bottles. There's also some $3.99 bottles that you couldn't pay me to drink.
Yeah.
But
$3 Chuck and all that.
They're carrying those because. There's a market for them.
Right.
But they're also carrying, your Heights Trailside, your Heights Martha Vineyard, and some of the more classic wines as well from Napa. So, I think their real goal is to ensure that you have different wines for all different price points.
Oh. So there is a purpose of their meeting, not.
Right, and then my understanding, and I'm not an LCB employee. In fact, I'm generally not only as a litigator that does some and do regulatory work for wineries. Generally opposed to the LCB. The LCB counsel's office and I talk quite regularly, and they're generally never friendly conversations. So I'm not going to profess to be someone who they're going to ever put on that buying committee, but my understanding is they're tasting it to make sure that they're appeasing the different market, based on what they think the value is as a committee, then the buyer for whatever type of varietal it is, and they break down their buyers based on varietals and regions of the world. That buyer then goes back to the winery and says, this is what I'm willing to pay, or if it's an import, it goes back to the importer and says, this is what we're willing to pay, take it or leave it. And as large of a buyer as the Liquor Control Board is, they can, in fact, do just that.
They usually take it. Goes the same way with spirits, hard liquors,
yep.
Beers and
yep.
everything?
Well, not beers. It does same thing as spirits in Pennsylvania. Beer, though, is... it's still regulated, but it's not regulated as much. In Pennsylvania, you can either buy a single bottle or a six-pack at a pub or a restaurant, or you can buy a case at a beer distributor. But you're not going to get beer at the liquor control store. And versus, like, Virginia, for example. Virginia, which also has a regulated liquor system, you're going to buy beer and wine in your grocery store and those type of markets. But the hard alcohol, you have to go to a state store to buy the hard stuff. New Jersey, you can get all of it in any liquor store, but you're not going to find much of it in the grocery store. So it's fascinating just how divergent the different laws are just driving. Where it gets really funny, and I lived in Washington, D.C. for several years, is the Washington, D.C. market, where Washington, D.C., you can buy it's a deregulated market. You can buy beer, wine, liquor, wherever you want. Of course, their taxes are higher, so you're going to find people going across the border to Virginia buying their beverages, and they're paying they're paying whatever the Liquor Control Board in Virginia wants, but it's going to be cheaper than D.C. And then they're breaking federal law by driving across the border. Most people don't realize that you can't If I come down and visit, you, Ron, and I get a case of, wine, and I drive it back north to Pennsylvania, or I ship it back to Pennsylvania myself, I'm violating federal law. You can't individuals cannot transport alcohol across state lines because it's a regulated commodity.
Hence the old moonshine going across state lines.
Correct. Now that's you're exactly right. The whole concept of running moonshine, the runners. That's generally the biggest issue. It's illegal to make grain alcohol because it exceeds the percentages allowed by the TTB. But
it's also not taxed, and they're not happy with that.
Right, it's not taxed, they're not happy. But what do they really get you is you're going to be arrested for running it across state lines, and because then it becomes a federal crime that carries much stiffer penalties. So that's kind of the moonshine is a great example, but it's also true. We talked about direct shipping last week a bit. Right now I can't ship wine from Napa Valley to Pennsylvania. But what I can do is I can have my wine shipped to, say, my mom in New Jersey or good friends in Virginia. But legally, I can't put it in my car and then drive it to my house. you do that, you're violating federal law because you're transporting a controlled substance across a state border.
Well, it's a good thing that they don't really enforce that. They'd have to arrest the entire country.
It's almost impossible to enforce because you'd be pretty foolish if you get pulled over for. The only way you would actually even be caught is if I assume you get pulled over for a moving violation and you have it on the back seat of your car. If it's in your trunk unless you're driving a hatchback or an SUV, they really shouldn't be going into your trunk anyway.
Right.
But unless you have like cases in your back seat. That the cop's going to then say, "Where's that from?" Unless you're going to admit to violating federal law and say, "Well, I'm driving this case back from Virginia to my wine cellar in Pennsylvania." If you do that, you're asking for
step out of the car.
you're going to be arrested, and you should be for foolishness. Criminal law 101 is the less you tell the cops. Generally, the better, and you don't want to generally admit to committing a federal crime. But cops don't care about it because the other thing about it is when you're being pulled over for going 90 miles an hour in a 65 zone, that cop wants the easiest thing, and that's going to be the speeding ticket. If he's going to have to then deal with you committing a federal crime, he then has to deal with talking to the assistant U.S. attorney and. You're seriously making that cop's job harder. The cops don't want to deal with that nonsense because you're not then going into your state courts. You're then going to federal courts and you're dealing with a whole different bureaucracy. So your average local police officer pulling you over, you're probably safe.
Unless you're belligerent or something. Keep your mouth shut.
That's really. Every lawyer will say the best thing you can do when you're pulled over, unless you can cry your way out of it as a girl, I guess a guy, if a guy can cry his way out of it, unless you can cry your way out of it, is just to nod, give the license and registration, don't admit anything, take your ticket, and then just show up at court and contest it. That's pretty far off topic, but most people don't realize driving liquor, including wine, across state border is you're violating the law.
I didn't know that either. I had no idea. It wasn't something that comes up in any situation. You don't think about it or anything, but.
Oh, right. Well, that's because you can ship wine into Florida, Ron. Those of us living in states you can't ship wine into, we do think about it because, you do your annual Guy's Napa trip, you got to figure out how to get that wine from California into your
cellar.
Basement, into your wine cellar without blatantly violating shipping laws.
There you go. There you go. I want to talk to you about something. You mentioned last week something that I thought about more, and I love the idea. You said that you would be willing to come on like every 2 or 3 months and just fill us in on some stuff that's been happening on shipping laws and stuff like that in wineries. Is that offer still stand?
That offer still stands, Ron. I'd love to be a regular contributor to this program, and however I can help our listeners learn more. And I hope tonight I've been somewhat insightful. I know we spent a lot of time talking about festivals as we go into the summer season. Luckily for and I say luckily because I have the general opinion that the less a legislature in a state does, usually it's the better, because usually when they start mucking with regulations, either good or bad, whether you're deregulating something or regulating, you're changing the dynamic. And as a wine owner, I like as a winery knowing the rules that I'm playing by. And in most states, the summer times, you're going to see less accomplished in state legislatures. So, I would expect that the current movement, especially in the Northeast, to change some direct shipping laws, will be revisited in the fall. But there's a chance that some of that's not even going to happen, because we're talking about a big election this fall, and
right.
As such, legislatures tend not to do things election years. So we'll certainly see about direct shipping. But next time we certainly should have a conversation. New Jersey, New Jersey is currently implementing a deregulated system. The state of Washington. It's effective. Today's May 31st. Yes, effective tomorrow, the state of Washington, for the first time, you'll be able to buy beer and wine in grocery stores. Washington's now deregulating its liquor industry. So, we're seeing some really cool things nationally. That to the extent that any change in regulations, and I'm sure your preference down in Florida is, don't change things. I know how it is. Leave me alone.
yeah.
But when you're going to change things to make it easier to reach more people, that's generally a good thing. And we're seeing that in Washington. And we're seeing that now in New Jersey. So we're going to, I'm going to obviously keep my eye on things. Next time we talk, we should certainly talk about how things are going in Washington and New Jersey, because those are, especially the state of Washington, New Jersey doesn't really have a thriving winery community. They certainly buy a lot of wine, but you don't see many wineries in New Jersey. Washington's very different. The Pacific Northwest, it's really developing a big name for some of their great Rieslings and even some of their Zinfandels now. It'll be really fun to watch over this summer to see how the deregulated markets in Washington, whether it helps or hurts the wineries in Washington, and helps and hurts other wineries. So I'll certainly monitor that. And, Ron, next time you want me on, just send me an email. I'm glad to help. And, I hear you're talking to my good friend Tom next week. He's a fun guy, inventor Tom. He make sure you ask him about cooking salmon on the hood of his truck in his wine parking lot.
I will bring that up to him. Cooking salmon on the hood of his truck.
the good folks at Hummingbird are interesting groups of people.
It sounds interesting. Well, thank you again, Jason, for your time. It's always interesting. It's always fun. I will be emailing you, and we'll set up times where we can get you on here and start talking, filling us in on what's happening with the rules and regulations. It's fantastic. I do enjoy you having taking your time out and joining us. It's something I think people will find enjoyable too. So
my pleasure. And if you want to pass my email address on to the individual who emailed you with that one query this week, I'll make sure I'll send them that report. So if you want to send me that email, I'll send them the report. Which actually kind of goes through how the Commonwealth purchases wine. I'll get them that report.
Okay, very good. I'll do that.
All right, Ron, stay cool down in Florida.
Yeah, have yourself a great festival next week. Or three of them, since you're going to be in three of them.
Yeah, we're going to be busy next weekend, but we're going to have a lot of fun doing it.
Well, have a great time. Hope the weather holds out for you, and we will be talking to you again.
All right, we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks a lot now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Fantastic. Jason will be back with us. I'll get in a schedule with him, and we'll look and see what's going on. But we'll find out when he's free and get him back on the program again to let us fill in. Which, by the way, any of you listeners out there, if you can think of anything you'd like to ask him, legal ends of it about wines. I mean, obviously, if you're having problems with an ex or something like that, we're not going to be able to bring up on the program. But if you have a question about legalities of wine or something's going on, email me at allaboutwine101. That's the numbers 101. allaboutwine101@gmail, g as in the letter mail.com, and we'll pass it on, and we'll pass it on to Jason next time we talk to him, or even email him, and we'll sure he will be in touch with you, or we can let you know what's going on. So more than welcome to do that. I've been teasing you the last couple of weeks about it. I think we're going to go off live now. We're going to go on to record, but that's okay. I've been teasing you for the last couple of weeks about giving you some wineries for sale out there. These are all current. I don't believe any of these have been sold yet. If they have, then you will know once you call it. If you're interested in any of these, drop me a line also. Drop me an email again. At allaboutwine101@gmail.com, and I will give you contact information on this. Here's a winery at Parma Ridge Vineyard and Winery. This is located near Boise, Idaho. Turnkey Vineyard and Winery in the Snake River AVA near Boise. If you've never been to Snake River, it is gorgeous. In the summertime, it's just absolutely beautiful. In the winter with the snows and everything, it is fantastic. Wonderful trout fishing. Biggest trout I ever caught in my life was in the Snake River. Boise, Idaho, near Boise, includes 12.5 acres with 9.5 acres in vineyards. It includes a home, the winery, warehouse, and inventory. And it's opportunity to grow in the operation. No price is listed or anything, but if you are interested, again, contact me. I will be happy to send you the contact information. Here you go, another highly profitable Westside winery. This profitable 27 plus or minus acre turnkey winery nets over 200,000 and includes winery and tasting room, farm and winery equipment, existing wine inventory, and farmhouse style 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath home with a forever vineyard valley views. It doesn't say where it is, so that should be interesting. You're buying something without knowing what it is. Again, I got information for you. Napa Valley Vineyard Estates, 25.5 plus or minus acre vineyard with potential winery site. Now, this is not a winery, just a vineyard located on Highway 29 in the Rutherford AVA. That is north of Napa Valley. The remodeled farmhouse has 3 individual suites, large kitchen, and views. Neighboring vineyards include Sullivan, Raymond, Whitehall, Frog's Leap, and Beckstolfer. Co-listed by a couple of properties here and all that. Again, no price. If you want to know about it, contact me. Wine industry opportunity. PNW Estate Wine Producer seeking an investor partner to provide capital to expand production and marketing. Don't know where that one is either. Get in touch with me if you want to know more. Here you go. Located in Vintners Village in Prosser, Washington. Space includes tasting room and temperature controlled storage. Tasting room for lease there. Italian vineyard for sale. This was fun. This thing hasn't sold. It's been popping up here for a few weeks now, so you might be able to get them down a little bit on this. Italian vineyard, 50 miles due west of Venice. 22.5 acres with 12.35 acres planted in vineyards. They have Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Carmenere, Oh, growing Carmenere in Italy. Oh, that's interesting. Sangiovese Chardonnay and Tixoy Rosso. The farmhouse is 200 years old, 5,000 square feet, 3,000 square feet of living space, marble floors, tavern, apartment, cantina with 3,000 square foot tasting room, steel tanks, oak barrels, 44,000 liter capacity, and two tractors included. If you'd like to see some pictures of it, go to http /// www.piedmont.co.uk. No price listed on it, but it's a good opportunity to get yourself a vineyard in Italy. Here we go, Southwest Colorado. A winery and home on 40 acres. Winery, all equipment, tasting room, storage area, 2 acres Riesling, producing 7 to 8 tons annually. That's a good amount, usually about 5 tons an acre. So they're cropping it back. You can probably squeeze more out if you really want to. In Colorado, I don't know. 3-bedroom, 2.75 bath, 2.75. What's a 2.? I'm asking my engineer here. What's a 2.75 bath? I understand 2.5, but a 2.75 bath. A sink, a stool, and a foot wash. Custom home, custom landscaping, many more amenities. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. 2 hours to Aspen and Telluride. That's only $1,750,000. We got a Nevada. Nope, I'm sorry. No, Napa Valley, NV. I thought it was Nevada. Napa Valley. Napa Valley Vineyard property. 91 acres, 2 separate parcels, breathtaking views of Napa, Mount Tam, and a tower of the Golden Gate Bridge on a clear day. Whoa, that's interesting. 1 acre Syrah, multiple building sites, close to Napa Airport, bank-owned, possible owner financing. That's only $1,595,000. And Washington State Vineyard, well-maintained red wine grape in Horse Heaven Hills AVA. And we got another one here, Russian River Wine Growing Estate. 30-acre parcel with 19-acre young Pinot Noir and Syrah Vineyard in prime Russian River Valley location. History of sales to super premium wineries. Approved home site with perks, attractive bank financing. Price reduced to $1,875,000. So there's a few wineries for you. If you are interested in any of those, email me at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Let me know which ones. I will get you the information. And then once you get yourself your winery, I will call you and interview you, and you can be on the program All About Wine about your brand new winery. Fun stuff there. That's it for this evening. We are we got our guests on there. As always, we like to thank our guest Jason again. Is always interesting and fun, and we will have him back talking about some of the rules and regulations and laws that are affecting wines and all this around the country. Interesting point about carrying wine across state lines. I never, ever considered that. I understand it, though. Again, like we're talking about moonshine, the federal law is catching them there, but I don't think that's going to stop any of us anyway, so it doesn't make any difference. And then Larry Moore, program director and promoter for Dauphin County. Again, if you want to check out that the website that he gave us, I'll give those to you one more time here. That's www.HersheyHarrisburgWineCountry. All one word, HersheyHarrisburgWineCountry.com. Or you can go to www.DauphinCounty, DauphinCounty, DauphinCounty.org/parks/recreation. A couple of sites there to get you connected on that. If you're in Pennsylvania or in that area, Next weekend sounds like a great time, a great event. It's $20 for the weekend. You can't beat that. I mean, that's just is phenomenal. With over 16 wineries, they're going to have 16 bands. They've got vendors and all sorts of stuff there. Sounds like a wonderful time. If we didn't have our own little wine fest going on down here, and I say little compared to 5,000 guests, if we didn't have our own little wine fest, it would be a great way to get away and get up there and check it out myself. But we're going to have that next weekend. Nothing at the winery this weekend, no classes, no wine fest, but that doesn't mean you can't come out and visit us. If you're in the area, by all means, stop by and check us out. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52. That's in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 34639. We are 5 miles, at 4 or 5 miles west of I-75, exit 285, approximately 8 miles east of US 41, and we are about 21 miles east of US 19, which runs up and down the coast here in West Florida. We're open 7 days a week, 11 till 6, and the website is www.floridaestateswines.com. With an S on both of them, estates with an S, wines with an S, .com. You can email me at the winery at email at the winery at corp at fleun@flewn.com. Yes, I did forget it for a second there. corp@fleun.com. Or you can check us out on Facebook, Florida Estates Winery on Facebook. And you can call us, area code 813-996-2113. And we'll be happy to talk with you if you have any questions or anything. Also, All About Wine, we have a Facebook page on that, All About Wine BTR for Blog Talk Radio on Facebook. Just go to Facebook with All About Wine BTR. And again, email us, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That's pretty much any and every way to get in touch with us. We, again, thank our guests, and thank you all for tuning in and enjoying the program. I hope you enjoyed the program. A little glitch there for some reason. I went silent for a little bit there, so we'll probably end up getting a bunch of listeners at the beginning. At this, so if you stayed with us this long, thanks. And that's it. We'll talk to all of you and see you all next week at 7 o'clock. We've got our guest next week is Tom. He has a winery. He's he cooks salmon on the hood of his truck, and he invents stuff to work in his winery so he doesn't have to go out and buy expensive equipment. Should be fun, should be interesting, and we'll look forward to having them having him on, telling us about what's going on and what's happening there. So, going to leave you here. I'm going to hit the ending. And thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.